Today's episode is so special to me. I just finished recording it and I'm overwhelmed right now, so I cannot wait for you guys to hear it. But I got to interview my first guest, my friend Emma, who I met actually through Gymshark and Women's Best. We were both sponsored athletes and we had a very similar experience in terms of changing our content, changing our views, and really coming into this health and wellness realm. And that's a lot of what we talked about today. We talked about struggles with body image, how we made the switch from bodybuilding and tracking our macros and living that kind of lifestyle to now health, wellness, taking more rest, and just being more mindful of how we treat ourselves and our bodies. We also discussed confidence, social media, relationships, and a whole other bunch of topics. So without further ado, I am going to jump right into this episode. And if you guys want to check her out, you can find her on Instagram. It will be in the description of this podcast. Well, I just want to say hello, welcome. Thank you so much for being the first guest on the Say Less podcast.
Oh my goodness, you don't understand how much of a genuine honor it is. It's so lovely to be here and I'm so grateful that you brought me on as your first guest as well. Which...
little background story for you guys. We actually met at the, what did we say? It was the London...
2018, maybe it was London or Birmingham, and it was probably around 2018, like proper Gymshark days. So it would have been one of the expos or like meetups or something.
Good old days, sort of. But yeah, I've been following you ever since. And obviously I, you know, have been watching your transformation and your change in content and change in who you are, I guess, as a person. I remember watching your, as we're just talking about this, your hot girl walks where you would post your podcasts, your favorite podcasts. And so Emma was actually the one that introduced me to the Unfuck Your Brain podcast by Carl Lohenheil. And that changed my life. So when I thought about who I would have as a first guest on this podcast, like, you were literally number one choice. Just because I feel like we've really went through the same kind of transformation. And I would love for you to just kind of tell them a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your story, the beginning of your fitness journey, and, like, you know, what led you to where you are now.
Okay, well, you say that I know that 2020 was a crazy dark year for everyone, but I think that one of my darkest years was actually 2019, because I started my fitness journey probably like six years ago, probably longer than that. And I came from, like, I was very small, very petite, wanted to, like, build a lot of muscle, but I was very... I'm just not knowledgeable. I didn't know anything. So I fell into that bodybuilder world where I just wanted to, like, grow a booty, wear, like, fun Gymshark outfits, all of this. And so at the time I was building muscle. I thought I was loving life and I thought I had a really good relationship with food and balance, but, like, in hindsight, looking back, I definitely didn't. And it was probably, like, the end of 2018 when I moved cities to London. I was like, I don't know what made me reflect, but I was like, wow, you've been on a diet for so many years. And I had a very poor relationship with my body, very bad body image. And I was like, wow, you've been on a diet for so long. And I just started to really resent it. But it was crazy because at the time, the only thing that I knew was fitness. So I was in this fitness world, like Gymshark athlete, Women's Best, sponsored by supplement companies and all this. It was crazy because I was like, oh, well, I'll be a personal trainer. It's all that I knew. But at the same time, I was beginning to resent it. So I just rebelled, basically. And I kind of went from one extreme to the other. So I feel like I was very, very restrictive. But then I went to the complete opposite end of the spectrum come, like, 2019, where I was like, I hate, like, fuck dieting, fuck everything. I just hate all of this. And went the other end of the spectrum where I was, like, indulging in crazy self-sabotage and, like, really bad habits, just being so self-destructive, kind of I don't even know what it was. Was it, like, to prove a point to myself? I'm not entirely sure. But at the same time, I still had, like, an Instagram page. And I just feel like I had a bit of an existential crisis. We all do. We all have them. But yeah, I was still in the throes of, like, trying to figure out what I wanted, but I was a personal trainer and I was like, I didn't know really where I fit in. And yeah, 2019, I feel like was a crazy dark year for me. And it's when like so much like of my health issues flared up as well. So I've dealt, and I know that you're similar, I've dealt with so many like gut GI issues, like chronic fatigue, acne, like so many sort of crazy health issues that really flared up in 2019 when I was like other end of the spectrum. So imagine health is like a scale. You've got like really restrictive, then you've got like really just don't care. I was really don't care. So yeah, I just wasn't sleeping. I was, it was a bad time. But I tried to mask it and I tried to just bury my head under the sand. I feel like, yeah, it was just, I was just like, this is fine. I just didn't want to own up to the fact that I was indulging in really bad habits that weren't serving me. So yeah, that was that. And then I'd say like 2020 came around, and during the period at the start of 2020 to like when the pandemic hit, was when I sort of reflected again and I was like, you need to sort yourself out, because I honestly, I don't want to say I was at rock bottom, because I don't know what rock bottom could be, but it was so low. So yeah, I was like, you need to sort yourself out. And then the pandemic came around and I was like, you've got so much time now, like we all do, like we all sort of got the gift of time. So I was able to reflect, and that's when I started to navigate wanting to heal and feel healthy and good and like get rid of this crazy bad gut health and like feel happy, confident, but also not be restrictive. So I really wanted to come back into the middle, like I always see as like a scale or like a weighing scale. I wanted to come back into the middle, draw myself into the middle where I care about my health and I want to feel confident and train how I want to train and eat really well without shame or without going into like this restrictive, crazy, obsessive state. And I feel like over that year, then I was able to align myself way better. And I'm like the most aligned I've ever been. I mean, we've all still got work to do. There's always ways you can improve, but I feel the most like aligned.
I love that answer. And I also just, I mean, I'm sitting here like nodding my head with everything you're saying, the GI issues, the bloating, the acne, the scale example that you gave. I mean, that's so true, because I'm right there with you. And that's why I think it's, you know, watching your journey is, it's kind of this reflection to me as well. Cause I, like I said, I feel like we're just on the same path. But I totally agree, where I, you know, I went through the same exact path where I was super obsessive, and those were the Gymshark years and the Woman's Best years. Yeah. Where we're eating, you know, all we're focusing on is lowest calorie food, where we're looking at food as like, I want low fat, I want sugar free, I want this and this. And it's making us, you know, on the inside feel like absolute trash. I mean, my digestive system took such a hit during those years. I was pounding protein like it was water. I was eating low carb. I was completely neglecting anything in terms of wellness at all. So my scale was, yeah, like the example that you gave, it was completely on one side of the spectrum. And then I went to the other side as well, but mine was kind of in 2020 where gyms closed and I was like, well, screw this. Like, I'm going to quit. I'm just going to start eating again. And that's when I felt my binge eating, which is something that I struggled with a lot, kind of the thoughts started to creep back in. And I was like, no, I know that what I've been doing just isn't working. I really have to get a handle on it. I have to completely shift my perspective on food, on fitness, on health. Like, do I want this? And is this sustainable for the rest of my life? And it wasn't. And, you know, it was a sad truth to come to. But one thing that I felt was like during those years, like with Gymshark and the bodybuilding industry and realm, when we were all in that space, I never felt like I fit in. And I was saying this to you earlier, I felt like I was in a box that was too small, right? Like I was trying really hard and I was posting all these pictures and I was really, I felt like I was saying the right thing, but it didn't actually resonate with me. Whereas I feel like now, even your content, you know, I look at it and I'm like, I love it. Everything you're saying, everything that you're posting, everything is so aligned. It's aesthetically pleasing, which is amazing. That's something that like I used to struggle with a lot when I was posting all the fitness content. I'm like, this, I don't really like this, you know. But on top of that, yeah, it's even just the message. It's the message that you're saying. It feels so good. So, you know, I feel like this year your content really, it took a complete shift towards wellness and food freedom. And I know that you do one-on-one coaching, you have an ebook, and I, you know, I've seen the reviews. I know how much you've changed people's lives. So do you feel like this year has really changed your perspective on food and health, and kind of what really inspired you to do that?
Yeah, it's literally crazy. I feel like it was definitely a journey. Like I say, when I was at that crazy low in 2019, I was very similar to you as well. That in the sense that I never felt like I fit in. I was posting this fitness content because the algorithm, I thought that I had to. I thought that this is what people expected of me. I was still with some sponsors, and I was like, but it just never felt right. And I felt like that translated to so many different areas of my life. And that's why I pushed back so far against it and went the other way. And yeah, it was so difficult to navigate because, like I say, my response to not liking that part of health and fitness and the whole bodybuilding, weightlifting, which is so crazy now, I was like, well, I'm not going to do anything. Well, health and fitness isn't for me, but you can make it whatever you want it to be. And I feel like you're so right. Like now I feel so aligned and I can see it in you too. It's just having a different mindset towards it. And that sounds so like vague, but I think when the pandemic hit and we all had to go into kind of isolation and stuff, having that time to be like, I don't know, reflect on everything and give me the time to like look at new accounts, look at sort of, I carried on my education, I started like looking into nutrition, and just, yeah, I realize there's another world out there that doesn't have to be sort of brightly colored outfits and squats and booty building. And yeah, I don't actually know, I don't really have an answer. I don't know what pushed me into like this area of wellness, but I think that, yeah, you're so right that when we were back in those days, like back in the Gymshark days, we were sort of believed that like being small meant being healthy, or eating low calorie meant being healthy, or eating like sugar-free was healthy. But sort of along the way, I've learned that like gut health is everything, managing your stress is everything. And all of these things are aligned. Your mindset towards food, your mindset towards your body, like everything is so aligned. And when you focus on those core values, you know, getting enough sleep, eating like fresh fruits and vegetables, that's when everything else comes sort of second. So like body comes second. Like you'll find that if you focus on like you're having like this, I don't know, like a snatched waist or whatever, like you'll lean towards low calorie foods and like fat free foods, and it just does that. It's just not the way. So shift your mindset and then you'll get better results. That's how I sort of came to where I am now, but it is a journey. It's not like an overnight thing. And I think, yeah, I think having the time definitely allowed me to expand my horizons, podcasts, reading, all of that good stuff.
Yes, I completely agree with you. I think having that time and really just realizing like there's so much more out there, like you said, broadening your horizons. I honestly, full fact, I unfollowed most of the fitness influencers that I used to follow because I was like, this is just not what I want to see on my page. Like, this is not making me feel good. This is making me compare myself a lot. And I didn't, you know, and it doesn't take away from those people and the content that they're posting, but I finally was like, what do I need? What do I want to see? What do I want to share? And on top of that, I there was something that you went into and I was like, oh, note to self, I want to talk about.
Sorry, I rambled on.
No, you're good. But I guess, you know, do you wish that there was something that was different about social media? And have you ever found yourself in a spot where you were comparing yourself? And because I definitely was like that. Like, again, back in those days, I never felt good enough, even though looking back now, I'm like, that's the type of content was getting all of the engagement. It was getting the brand deals. It was being in with like the cool kids, AKA the Gymshark kids. So when I lost, you know, when that partnership came to an end, and it was very mutually, it was coming to an end for a long time. I was probably for 2 years being back and forth. Like, I don't know if I want to be in this, but like, how do you leave the cool kids table? How do you just walk away from that and just say, this is just not for me anymore? You know, that's really hard.
Yeah. I mean, social media is a bit of a minefield, and I think I definitely have had an up and down relationship with it, because when I was at that stage, like you, where I was like, I'm going to sort of leave this, I should leave this because it's not serving me anymore. Like, it is really scary. And I began to really hate it You know, there are obviously social media can be so draining and exhausting, and you know, there are things that everyone would change about it. I think that it sucks so much that there's so much of it is based on like vanity metric, like likes, shares, like all this stuff. And you have to kind of play with the algorithm sometimes, like the sort of content that, yeah, gets engagement and stuff like that. I wish that it wasn't like that. And that's also when you can fall into the comparison trap as well, isn't it? When you're in a group of sort of people who post similar content to you, like, yeah, all of the sort of athletes and stuff, and you're just like in this crazy, yeah, comparison bubble. But I think what helped for me is something that you just said there, was you just went through and sort of sifted through your following and looked at who you were following. So that is something that I did as well, because I looked at my page one day, like a few years ago, and I was like, wow, you are following literally the same person times 100. Like, I was literally just following, and again, there's no problem with their content whatsoever. They serve a great purpose for some people, but I was following the same person times 1,000. It was just, you know, gym girls and guys lifting weights in the gym. And it was the same person. So I was like, you need to look elsewhere. And I remember having a conversation with one of my one of the friends that I lived with at the time, and she was like, your Instagram is so weird, like it's just fitness, abs. And I was like, wow. So yeah, I went through and I kind of looked at pages that I liked, who they were following, and then just broadened my horizons. And I think that's important, like different body shapes, you know, different countries, races, look at other people's experience of the world. I think that really helped me for sure with the comparison.
I love that, because I think that is another thing that we've really learned in 2020, that like, you don't have, following people who look like you and dress like you and are doing the same thing as you is not necessarily helpful. Yeah, it's great to feel connected to that, you know, but like you said, following the same person 1,000 times. And it's crazy that your roommate said that, because my boyfriend would look at my page and he'd be like, what, you know, you're down on yourself about what you look like, but like, look at the page, and you're scrolling all the time. You're constantly scrolling. How do you expect not to be comparing yourself? And on top of that, and that's when I was like, you know, you're right. But you and I, we came from that background, right? So we build our audience on this idea that, like, you know, women should be in the weight room, they should be lifting heavy, they should be pushing themselves, they shouldn't be scared of that. And I still, you know, this is where, and I'm struggling with this to this day, because I still get people that are questioning, you know, my switch, I guess, you know, they would say, and it's fair, and it's totally fair, because they're saying, you know, for years you've said that you should be lifting heavy and that you should be pushing yourself, and there was this great message about women being strong, right, behind it. And I think now, looking back and taking that step back and saying, like, I've switched, you know, I've said, hey, this actually wasn't that good for me. Hey, weightlifting heavy actually caused me to have horrible inflammation. I'm now an advocate for taking more rest and walking, getting your steps in, hiking, being outside, doing all these other forms of exercise that is just less impactful, I guess, less stressful on your body. But I understand where people are coming in, you know, saying, hey, but what about this whole thing that you've been saying this entire time, that like, we should be in the weight room doing this thing and getting strong? And I would love to know your opinion on that, because I know that you've kind of done the same thing.
Yeah, it's really difficult, isn't it? And I completely get where you're coming from, because it sounds like you've just gone like a complete, you know, 180. But what's so important to remember is how individualized training and eating and wellness is, and what served you at one point might not serve you, you know, for the rest of your life. And, you know, I used to train like quite intensely in the gym, and I used to like force myself to go to the gym like 5 days a week and do hip thrusts and squats and this, but I was, you know, crazy. Even during that down period I had in 2019, I was still actually going to the gym, because still somewhere in my mind I had these niggles where I was like, oh yeah, but if you completely let go, then, you know, this. So I was still kind of forcing myself through these crazy intense weightlifting sessions, which in hindsight only did me worse. But we would have both gained a lot from weightlifting. Like, I don't deny that weightlifting served me for a time, and it allowed me to sort of learn about movement, you know, develop a little bit of muscle. But sometimes it does, these things do just come to an end. And unfortunately, some people are more prone to sort of inflammation and stress and aren't able to recover very well. And I know that we're very similar on that. And I can tell you now that I became aware that I wasn't able to recover from the gym like about 2 years ago, and then I ignored it for a year. And then it was only during the pandemic when I was forced out of the gym, I won't lie, because at the very start, like March last year, I was so anxious and worried about it. I was like, no, this isn't going to be good. So it was only having that forced time away. But I think that I'm a huge advocate for kind of taking the rest. And that you can have different points in your life where different sort of methods will serve you. And I think that if you're someone who has a lot of like gut issues, GI issues, more often than not, you're going to need more rest than you're going to need intense weight training. So and it's also individualized as well. Some people can take 5 days at the gym and like great for them, but some people can't. So
that's such a good answer. Empowerment can come through so many different ways. It doesn't have to be in the weight room, although it can be. Now, when the pandemic hit and I was losing my freaking mind, going crazy, thinking that I was going to have these crazy, insane body changes and that I simply had to, that this routine was the only thing that was standing between me and basically my worst fear, which was like to gain a lot of weight. And it's, you know, it's crazy how much my eyes have opened up to the fact that that's the issue. The issue is that I was scared of weight gain, and therefore I thought the solution was to put my body through hell. And then when I was forced to take that rest, I realized that one, my quote unquote worst fear did not happen. And two, I had to face the fact that this was still my worst fear and really work through that. Because, you know, something that I talk about all the time is that we're going to go through changes. Our body is going to change. We're going to gain weight. We're going to lose weight. We are going to get wrinkles. And there's this standard that is, or I guess, what's the word that I'm looking for? This pressure put on women to be thin, to be beautiful, and to keep that up for basically the rest of their life, which is extremely unrealistic. And it's just so like sad to think about that.
Yeah, it is. And I think that the sad part is that is the root cause of like a lot of people's like body issues and issues with, you know, food and the gym, because there is this like intense pressure of wanting to fit into society and society's ideals. And it's just how much you say like, fuck that, or yeah, it's navigating that is so, so difficult. And I mean, that's something that I've gone through and am working through and trying to come into like more alignment now. But it's so crazy because I literally remember like last year when the gym shut, even though I was like kind of saying like, screw you to fitness and the gym and whatever. No, not fitness and like health and stuff. I still was like putting myself through these crazy intense like weight sessions. And then I, like you, I'd come home and be like, why am I so tired? Why am I so exhausted? And it's just because I didn't know any better. And because the core of it, I had a very, and still had a very, very poor relationship with my body and with food. And that's not something that you can overcome overnight. It needs a lot of work. And that's something I'm still working through. But I've done a lot of work over the past like year or so, but it's crazy how it's all interlinked. And that's like what my sort of message is now, and yours as well, is that like I'm so mindset focused, like everything is interlinked, like your body, like stress, yeah, your relationship with food, like the relationship with the way that you want to look, like how you are as a person. It's just so interlinked. And yeah, it's crazy.
I it's so interesting that you say this, because that was actually going to be my next question, because we are talking a lot about food and fitness, and of course that's what mostly what we post about. But I agree that, you know, mindset and everything is so interlinked. Like I went through therapy in 2020 and I realized that these body issues, my poor relationship with food, all these things, they started way earlier on. And on top of that, I think a lot of women who struggle with like binge eating and horrible body image and all these things, like a lot of those women are also struggling with confidence. And that kind of goes into confidence in their personal relationships, confidence in friendships. Like there's this pattern that follows. And it's weird that so many women go through that, right? It's weird that so many women can relate to that. And that's where you start to kind of question, is this a societal issue? Are we taught again that our worth is in beauty, our worth is in what we can do for other people, that our dreams and goals aren't big enough? You know, that's, I was listening to this podcast once that said, rarely do men have this feeling of like, do I deserve this? It happens. It's not to say that men don't struggle with that, but they are so much more compelled to go after things that they want and are so much more encouraged to do that. Whereas women are not. It's simply they're not. And you know, I also, on top of all the body image and the fitness struggles, I also struggled with kind of confidence and knowing who I am and who I was and what I stand for and what do I want. I always put my worth into pleasing other people. What can I do for someone else? What can I offer them? And I always felt really like empty through that.
Yeah, literally, it's crazy. It's just like, yeah, it's like a mirror. Like, it's crazy. And I think that that's what I mean. Like, it is all so interlinked because I'm exactly the same. I'm like massive people pleaser, like, yeah, poor relationship with body, with myself, like not knowing like who I am in a way, or previously not sort of knowing who I am in a way. And like, but that's the problem. Like, I think that it is a more of a societal issue. Like, I was trying to find it on my phone just now, but I was on the Fuck It Diet's Instagram page, and she was talking about how, because you know how we're all about food freedom and like, you know, eating what you want, but then there is still this kind of, you still want to feel like you're healthy, you still want to feel I don't know, confident and happy and whatever. And someone was saying, like, can you do the Fuck It Diet, like can you like say screw diets if you still want to lose weight? And it's crazy because she was talking about how people still want to lose weight because it's a social currency. People want to feel like they've got loads of social currency because in society, people who are, you know, deemed aesthetically pleasing, like have more of the social currency, don't they? So they want the ease of life. They want the ease of that. They want the ease of like the admiration and stuff like that. And the question is, how much do you let this desire rule your life? Do you pursue it and know that you are kind of betraying your like physical and your mental health, or do you do the opposite? It's crazy to think about. So like a lot of my journey and your journey as well, I know, has been navigating this in between where the core focus and my mindset now and my mentality is, I genuinely want to wake up and feel energized. I want to wake up and feel healthy, like I can do my day's work without falling asleep at one every day. I want to feel confident in my personal relationships. Like, I got into a new relationship during the pandemic. Like, I want to feel comfortable and confident in that. I want to go into like a social setting where I'm not, you know, fixated on what side of my face is showing. Like, it all is like completely interlinked. And it's hard to give an answer. So like what fixes that, because it's just a lot of like self-work, a lot of reflection, trying to make yourself aware of all of these things. I mean, awareness is the first key to healing, right? So once you become aware of these things, then you can kind of knuckle down, I guess, but it's hard.
I love that you said awareness is the key to healing, because I agree. I think that's the first step, and probably the most important step, is to just realize that, hey, this is it. And you, it's really hard to admit it to yourself. It is hard to admit it to yourself that you have quote unquote issues. And it's hard not to take it personally. It's hard not to wonder, well, what's wrong with me? You know, I definitely struggled with that a lot. I was really internalizing a lot of things and thinking that I was the issue. What was wrong with me? What can I fix? Whereas, you know, listening, it's so funny, like Cara Lohnheil, I'm gonna keep bringing her up because I love her, but she just always, it talks about how much it's not our fault and how it's society's fault, how we've been institutionalized to think these things and feel these feelings, because it's just easier to keep women not in power this way. And I think that we are seeing a huge shift, especially now that we are just so like open and honest about everyone's experiences, and we're all kind of waking up and seeing, hey, this is not right, you know. And it's really, you want to think that you live in a world that is equal, but it's not. And I, you know, this is a whole other conversation, like us being white women in this society, like what can we do? Because there are a lot of other people that are really struggling, and, you know, in everything else that happened in 2020, I mean, as we saw, we really got kind of a clear vision of what people think and how they feel. And a lot of that is really terrifying, but a lot of it is also really empowering, because I think that our generation is really taking a stand and trying to do better. But this could be a whole other conversation.
Yeah, and
I guess let's go back to the whole just self-acceptance. And, you know, I think that for me, awareness was the first step, and then small changes was the second. I came to the conclusion that I could not change it overnight. Like there's simply no way to wake up one day and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to go from bodybuilding and tracking my macros to hashtag health and wellness and drinking matcha and, you know, taking turmeric and ginger and doing all these things. So it's small changes. It's, can I take a little bit more rest? Can I do, instead of working out 6 days a week, can I switch some of those workouts to something less impactful, less stressful on our bodies? But do you have any advice for anyone who is kind of in that realm where they're like, oh, I know that I should take more rest? Because I always knew that. I was always like, oh, I should probably take more rest. Like, don't neglect your rest, but fuck it. So do you have any advice? Do you have any advice for, like, if someone is stuck in that situation right now where they're like, I want to, but I just simply can't?
Yeah, literally. I mean, I completely co-sign everything that you have just said. Because you can't heal a body that you hate, and you can't like obsess your body into health or how you want to feel. It just doesn't work. So the key is small steps. And I'm going to bring it back to Cara again, because I'm such a big fan of her as well. And she talks about the process of like a thought ladder, doesn't she? So you can't go from, you know, waking up in the morning and hating the way that you look and forcing yourself through exercise and, you know, making a bowl of plain porridge because you hate the way you look and you want to change the way you look, with the expectation when you hit, you know, X amount weight, you're going to wake up one day and love yourself. Or you can't go from like that crazy negative thought to becoming aware of it and then saying, okay, well, today I'm just going to love myself, because you won't believe it. You physically will not believe it, because they're so extreme. So what you have to sort of work on doing is baby steps. So going from saying, like, you know, I hate the way I look and I'm exercising because I hate the way I look, to like, oh, I appreciate my body, or being like, my body looks like this, or I'm open to believing that my body is, you know, beautiful as it is. And taking the small baby steps. And that can be frustrating because it's not an overnight shift. And you have to practice it. And I think that's something that people forget as well when it comes to like feeling more confident and happy and self-accepting. You just want to, when you become aware that you're not, you're like, okay, well, I want to feel good now. So I'm going to feel good. And you learn something like a thought ladder or the way of like changing your thoughts. And then you think, okay, well, now I've learned that and I'm going to go off. I remember listening to Sankara's podcast, and my, like, your mindset is like any other muscle. You need to keep on flexing it. You can't expect to do 10 squats in the gym and your ass grows like crazy amounts. It doesn't work. You know that to build or grow your muscle, you're going to have to keep working at it. And I think that a lot of people give up on the whole mindset side of thing because it's not instant. It doesn't give you instant reward, and it's difficult. Like, I started journaling at the start of 2020, and I got really bored of it and really frustrated because I was like, this isn't me. I hate this. It's bringing up too much shit. But I carried on with it gradually, and it's just something you have to work on. So I think setting realistic expectations for yourself and having compassion as well is really important when it comes to that.
Yes, absolutely. I read the book, The Art of Self-Compassion. I think it was just called Self-Compassion. And it really, that was the first thing that my therapist recommended, because she was like, you're so hard on yourself. Why are you so hard on yourself? You are such an empathetic person. Like, can you relate to your younger self? Can you, because I was like, no, there's never a chance in hell that I'm going to feel bad for myself. Like I was always under this impression that, like, you know, the imposter syndrome, that whole thing, where I was just like, well, I got here because of X, Y, and Z factors. You know, I never could just look at it from an outside perspective and think like, no, I mean, I got here because I persevered. I got here because I took risks. I got here because I believed. Somewhere deep down inside, I did believe, but I couldn't connect to that at all. So I agree. It's like compassion and reassurance that you have to give yourself, because that's another thing I think that we are taught to, we are taught that our value is, we're going to find our value somewhere out there. Someone else is going to marry us, therefore we're going to feel valuable. Someone else is going to promote us, therefore we're going to feel valuable. Someone else is going to tell us that they find us beautiful, attractive, smart, and whatever, you know, X, Y, and Z, and we're going to feel good about ourselves. But that is such a, it's so fleeting. It's you get that little instant gratification and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, it's gone, and you feel empty and you feel low and you feel confused. So it's being able to give yourself that reassurance when you need it, knowing that it's inside of you. Like, even if you don't feel it right now, even if it's hard, even if you're going through it, know that it is inside of you. And chances are you've tapped into it before. You've tapped into this like self, like assurance that you have, you just aren't fully there yet. And it's not to say that like I'm always there, but I think that's one thing that 2020 has really taught me, and I'm sure you as well, is that you can tap into it so much more now. Like, you can easily kind of come back from whatever anxiety you're feeling, or any other feeling that consumes you can come back so much faster from it.
Yeah, for sure. And like, something that really helped me and really helped it click for me is I was like, I am the one in my head. I know that we get taught these values from society and they're imposed on us. We've got diet culture and all this shit, but I'm the one in my own head, and I've been able to tell myself X, Y, Z for as long as possible. Therefore, I can change the story in my head. And I think that really helped me a lot, because I was like, wow, I'm saying this to myself. So I can see other people are saying like way better things for themselves. And I began to realize and learn that the story you tell yourself in your mind is the one that you will live out. So if you're constantly telling yourself that you're not good enough, and you're training because you don't look good, and you're eating because you don't look good, and you know, you're not confident and whatnot, that is the reality that you're going to live out. So, you know, some of it does come down to a bit of delusion as well. I know I said you have to be realistic and set yourself good targets that you can hit and not completely lie to yourself, but contradictory, there is an element of delusion sometimes, which helps me. If I actually tell myself that I am confident and I am able to show up for myself in this way, and I am eating because it's eating well because it's a form of self-respect, I will eventually begin to believe it. And I do think that's true, because I've come so far. So
you really have come so far, and I love that answer. I think that it's like telling, just repeating it to yourself, like, you can do this. And I think that my therapist would always just be like, well, if you think you can't do it, you know, you've been in situations before where you thought you couldn't do it. And look back, learn something, you persevered. And that's what we have to look at. We have to look at evidence from our past, because we're here right now. All of us are here, and all of us have gone through something that was really painful and that we probably thought we couldn't get through, but we did. Just reminding yourself. I think it's so funny. Like, I started therapy and I was like, I want to be confident. How do I become confident? I want to stop dieting. I just want to feel confident in my body. And she's like, well, do you accept your body? Do you feel like you accept your personality? Do you accept the sound of your voice and the color of your hair and the size of your arms? And I was like, oh, no, I definitely don't. And she's like, well, how do you want to project confidence? Because confidence is really just self-acceptance. It's being able to accept yourself, who you are, whatever you look like at any stage of your life, because again, you're going to be changing. Your thoughts are going to be changing. Your relationships are going to be changing. Your body's going to be changing. Can you accept that? And I was like, oh my God, like full stop, hold on. That's a lot to take in. But that's really all that it was. And it's not to say that I am 100%. And I, you know, like you said, it's still such a work in progress, but I think that personally, at least, like I've gone from accepting myself at maybe a 20% level to now at like a solid 70 to 75. And I'm still working towards that. I would love to be in like the 90% where I'm just like, this is great. but 70% feels a lot better than 20%. 70% feels a lot better when you know, to walk into a room and not have to compare yourself to everyone else that's in there, not have to worry about how you are going to come off to other people. It's made my life so much better because I can just like enjoy experiences now versus being like having an out of body experience at those experiences.
Yeah. And your mind and the space in your mind is freed up as well. Because I always think of like all of the times when I was just so consumed with the way I, you know, yeah, walking into a room and just constantly assessing like what other people are doing, what they think of you. And the same can be related to like food, fitness, everything like that. It just frees up so much space in your mind when you get to a much healthier, more balanced and aligned place. It frees up so much space. So you can be like, I feel like now I'm way more creative and I'm just so much more, again, I'm not 100% there. I'm the same as you. I probably operate at like a 70% level. There's more work we can always do, but yeah, it's a lot better than 20% when it probably used to be. So yeah.
I just have to say, you know, I'm so like proud of you. I remember meeting you at that London like pop-up shop and you and I really just, I feel like we hit it off and it's just crazy to see our journeys now. I'm so proud of you. I'm sure that the people that you've helped are so proud of you. And like, you know, you've changed people's lives. I mean, you changed my life. And again, like your page is one of my favorites to follow. So I will have all the information for them at the beginning of the episode. That way that they can get to know you a little bit more. And if they enjoy my content, I mean, they're going to enjoy your content as well. And yeah, you're a coach right now, which is it's something that I don't do. So if people are really looking to really take that step and improve their relationship with food, where can they find that information? How can they work with you?
Yeah, so I'm like a health, wellness, fitness coach. So it's everything that we kind of preach, and it's just about getting, you know, into that sustainable balance place, get to where you want to be. It's very well-rounded. But yeah, just through my Instagram, I guess, all of this sort of website is there. It's all online and there's loads of like reviews, and it's so like, it's the most fulfilling thing. I cannot, like, it's genuinely so nice because it came like creating that business came like out of my own personal experience. I was just like, it sounds a bit cliche, but like wanting to help as many people not feel the way that I felt and just kind of, I guess, fast track them as much as possible through those crazy years that I had. So yeah, I'm really proud of that. And I'm so proud of all the women that I work with. It's great.
Yes, as you should be, very well deserved. I can't think of another like a better person to be helping women to get through this. I wish I would have had someone like you to help me through that. I think it would have, like you said, it would have fast tracked through a lot of those issues, but you know, we got here. And yeah, just, you know, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so glad we figured it out. Now, we couldn't figure this out for a solid 20 minutes. We were like, this episode's not gonna happen.
No, genuinely so grateful that you had me on to your podcast, because yeah, I'm a podcast head. I always listen to them, and when you announced that you were doing your podcast, obviously I love your content so much, like so I listened to all of them, and I was like, oh my god, when I got a message from you, I was like beaming from ear to ear. I was like, obviously I'd love to have a chat with you. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for being here, and we will definitely talk again soon.
Of course.